from time to time have to give University of Michigan news, but for the most part, we don't hide the fact that we bleed green. On the other end of our line is Mark Hollis. He's the athletic director for Michigan State University. Mark, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. We're doing great.
It's good to be green, isn't it?
It is.
Well, now, how are you going to do all this? You got to go out to Maryland, and you got to go down to Columbus. I guess if you have to travel between two sites for a women's game in Maryland and a men's game in Ohio, that's doable.
Well, the positive is we have a great staff around here that's able to accomplish a lot of that. The unfortunate part, my new role with the NCAA committee, I'm going to be spending very little time this weekend with either team, and we'll be shadowing Joe Castiglione, who's a member of the NCAA Men's Basketball Committee. Fortunately, I was assigned to Columbus, so I'll get to peek a little bit, but my responsibilities this weekend are to learn all about the NCAA Basketball Committee.
Now, let's talk about that role, because you think, hey, the brackets are all said and done. The work is done. What are you going to be doing?
Well, it's interesting. It's a 40-day plus commitment over the year, and once the tournament starts rolling, there's a number of things that happen at each site that the committee representative is responsible for, and Joe is that person who's the athletic director at the University of Oklahoma, and you know, it's everything from the meetings with all the teams when they come in. It's making sure there's fair, balanced equity in all of the practice sessions. That the locker rooms are assigned, that the officials are assigned appropriately, that there's drug testing seminars, there's gambling seminars, there's media conferences that take place throughout. And it's that committee representative's responsibility to ensure that all those things take place without a hitch. So, you know, in most cases, committee members, I think 6 of the 10 come from non-BCS conferences right now. And many of them don't have the experience that we have. I think I could probably run a site right now as many times as Coach Izzo has taken us through the dance.
All right, the men's basketball team will be in Columbus Friday night for a 9:30, a little later than 9:30 game against Long Island University Brooklyn. And then the women will play 1:30 in the afternoon on Saturday against Louisville. Can you put a dollar value on the marketing value of both teams being in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I really don't think you can. I think, you know, intercollegiate athletics is the front door to the university in so many ways, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. And, you know, what we strive for is to have more of the good. And when you have these teams out there, you have to step back and really look, what is that value? And there's, you know, there's monetary value that you can equate to increase in licensing, increase in applications for admission. But it's really, how do people become aware of institutions across the country? And it's been proven time and time again that the person sitting on the bench outside of the state of Michigan is going to make evaluations about an institution based upon what they see on television during a football or basketball game. And that's where the branding, that's where developing a strong national presence is so critical. So every time one of our teams play somewhere in the country, we believe that it has a positive effect on people at least saying, what is Michigan State all about? And I think that's the value that you can't measure.
How do you find these people who bleed green? You can tell what Mark Izzo, what Tom Izzo, what Mark D'Antonio.
We're thinking of changing his name to Mark Izzo. It's a lot easier.
But. Well, what Susie Merchant, we can tell that they bleed green. But when you look at your baseball coach and your hockey coach, how do you find those people?
Well, I think it's, you know, President Simon taught me way back to make sure that you describe what you want, not who you want, before you hire any position, and that's a lot of the same that Dr. Kearney applied, and I think Joe is one of the best identifiers of talent. Of course, I grew under him for about 10 years out west, and what I do is I've got a number of different variables that I go through, both in interview, but a lot of it takes place in the research process and what did they do to get to the point that they're at. I take my kids and I evaluate how would each one of my three kids who have very different personalities respond to any applicant for a coaching position. I think one of the biggest, if I can generalize it a little bit, is I try to take success and failure factors and try and make an assessment on how a coach would respond to both and where their mindset would go. And I believe in any type of leader that when you're extremely successful or when you fall and have periods of, unfortunate lack of success, that you surround yourself with other people, that you don't go into isolation and you don't go into patting yourself on the back. And, you know, I believe all of our coaches were identified on the front end of being able to handle those two extremes because neither one of them is permanent. And that's kind of the last test that I go through with every coaching position.
Mark, having been around you for more than 10 years, I see the way you make hires, even with guys like Paul Shager. But when you look at your coaches, they don't talk just about winning. They talk about greatness and leaving footprints and the grind. And I don't mean the grind in a negative sense. I mean getting in there and working every day and understanding the process and enjoying the journey. You surround yourself. It seems like that's the culture of Michigan State.
Well, I think it is, and I think it has to be, and I think you could even take that culture and spread it across this whole university from faculty to administrators in the administration building. We as an institution have a reputation for doing much more with limited resources, and athletics, for the most part, fits right into that category. We have many coaches who and administrators who could go on to other positions, both in athletics and outside of athletics, and as an individual, do better for themselves. And we have, I believe, developed a culture here where people, we're transparent with our budget. People know where we stand. We know what we have. But they also look at the positive sides of what's out there and what's the return for my family as far as being part of it. And that's why we include the kids and spouses and all those other parts of what you would consider to be quality of life exists right here in mid-Michigan. So, I think we're reflective of campus, and I think that's a good thing, and I think this university across the board does an unbelievable job of doing a lot with a little.
All right, we've got a couple more questions for Mark Hollis, who's the athletic director for Michigan State University. We see that the University of Michigan has raised their prices, and some folks are upset because their seats may change. That's something you've had to deal with, Michigan State University. Is it an unpleasant process for you?
Well, it is, and I think it's also, something that's concerning for ADs and university presidents. And there is a bill to be paid, and I think when you step back and take a look at budgets, our scholarship budgets are at $13 million right now, and anytime there's raises there, that affects us, greatly. There's not, and I can speak for the University of Michigan and Michigan State, there's not an internal source of funds to support what we're doing from facilities, coaches' salaries, scholarships, operating budgets, and many of the components are outside of our decision-making process. So if we keep our revenue streams flat, we're gonna be in a situation where, we have even less to work with in order to achieve that success. Our budget at Michigan State is just under $80 million, which ranks very much in the middle of the Big Ten Conference, yet our expectations are to be at the top. So, we've had to make some adjustments, and I think ours have been relatively modest. I think we had we made some decisions here recently to be in line with what other Big Ten institutions are and start making the tab inside Spartan Stadium a little bit more equitable regardless of the seat that you're sitting in. And I think that's an important step forward with a team that strives to compete for championships. But, Michigan's going through that same thing. But I am, as an AD, I am concerned about escalating costs. It's decisions are being made that are somewhat short term. We continue to support 25 sports here at Michigan State, which is extremely high when you compare that to the national level, but the Big Ten as a whole averages 25. So we like to create a lot of opportunities for a lot of student athletes, and that comes with a bill, and that's generally supported through your football and men's basketball programs.
Tell us about the new scoreboard we're going to see at the stadium.
Well, Greg Ioanni and Paul Shager are diligently meeting with folks as we speak, and it's going to be an exciting addition to Spartan Stadium. I think it's going to bring a lot more life. The sound system is going to be much enhanced, and as well as having sight lines, regardless of where you're sitting in Spartan Stadium, to some spectacular video. It's one of the highest definition video boards out there. I haven't seen one that matches it or is higher in college sports. So we're excited of what we're going to deliver to Spartan Stadium, and most of that is supported through corporate sponsorships. And Shags has done an unbelievable job putting all that together, and it's going to bring Spartan Stadium to life in a new and unique way, and I think it'll be enhance the entire campus.
All right, as we let you go, what's next? We've played basketball on an aircraft carrier. We've played hockey outside. We've played basketball indoors at Ford Field. What's next?
Well, I think as you look at, what's the future of intercollegiate athletics, so many of the cash flows are starting to stable off. And what we're looking is, can we take college sports and go international? And we're flirting with a few things, both in Europe and in the East. And I don't know where we're going to end up and where we're going to land, but we're checking a lot of different things out. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a unique competition take place in one of those.
Mark Hollis is the athletic director for Michigan State. Mark, I know you're busy as all heck. Thanks so much for your time today.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thanks.